In Genesis chapter 45, we saw Joseph, and we saw that Joseph revealed himself to his brothers. Remember, 22 years earlier, Joseph told his brothers that he had an interesting dream. We've been looking at the lives of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and now Joseph. And we saw Joseph, we're basically introduced to Joseph as a man at his age 17. And he told his brothers this interesting dream that essentially they understood it, that they would bow down before him. And of course, they didn't like that much. And you remember how that as we looked through the life of Joseph, we saw Joseph, how he was treated of his father, loved of his father, but showing him partiality, turned his other brothers against him. And how that we saw Joseph sold into slavery, how that he ended up in the house of Potiphar and running the house of Potiphar until the Potiphar's wife got involved and made some false accusations against Joseph. Potiphar had him thrown in prison. We saw how that somewhere along in that same time frame that Pharaoh got on the outs with his butler and his chief butler and his chief baker. And Pharaoh had them cast into prison. And they had dreams that they couldn't interpret. And Joseph was able to interpret them. And he told the butler, he's going to raise up your head and restore you to your former position. And he told the baker, he's going to raise up your head from off your shoulders. And both dreams were fulfilled. Pharaoh restored the butler. Pharaoh took the life of the baker. A couple more years go by, and so now we're looking at about 22 years. And, it's 22 years from when we're introduced to Joseph to the time that he reveals himself to his brother. It's actually 13 years that we meet him at the age of 17, and he's 30 when he stands before Pharaoh. So 13 years later, the baker or the butler remembers this person in jail that can interpret dreams. Pharaoh had a dream, and the butler all of a sudden remembered. Oh yeah, and he goes and fetches Joseph, and they put him before Pharaoh, and he interprets Pharaoh's dreams, and he lets Pharaoh know that both the dreams mean the same thing. There's going to be 7 years of tremendous harvest, and then there's going to be 7 years of famine. That 7 years of famine are going to completely consume all of the plenty that you'll get out of the first 7 years. And the thing made so much sense, the things that Joseph was saying made so much sense to Pharaoh that Pharaoh said, you're going to run it. You're going to be in charge. And so that's pretty much where we left off. Genesis chapter 45 last week. He reveals himself to his brothers and tells them not to fear. He tells them, he looks beyond what they did and why they did it. And he sees God working in all that's being done. And you know, might I say this at this point? God help us for the grace to be able to look past sometimes what people do to us and see God working his intended outcome. And that takes some depth and that takes some maturity. And Joseph had these things even at the relatively young age that he was. And Genesis 46, then in verse 27, the Bible tells us this. Now, Genesis 46 is beginning in verse 8, it's the names of the children of Israel at that time. And in verse 27, the sons of Joseph, which were born him in Egypt, were two souls. All the souls. Now, Moses, as he writes this, now changes gears a little bit and says, all the souls of the house of Jacob, which came into Egypt, were 70. 70 souls. The same thing that the book of Exodus will bring out as Moses opens the book of Exodus, that 70 souls came in. So Joseph reveals himself to his brothers, tells them to go get dad, pack it all up, come over here. He rehearses to them even what to tell Pharaoh. Tell him you're shepherd. You have been caring for sheep. Tell him that's been your occupation basically forever. And Pharaoh will set you up over here, away from the rest of the Egyptians, and they'll give you the land. They gave him the land of Goshen. So he introduces some of his family to Pharaoh, five the first time, and then he gets the whole clan and dad and all, and they come over, and he introduces the whole outfit to Pharaoh. Pharaoh says, okay, go over there to Goshen, and you are our honored guests. You're our honored guests. And the book of Exodus starts off with those 70 souls that have come into Egypt. And as long as Joseph was alive, they were the honored guests. Pharaoh knew what Joseph had done. All that generation knew what Joseph had done. And how that he saved Egypt. And so they were glad to have Joseph's family over there in Goshen. But that generation died. And those that knew Joseph died. Those that knew Pharaoh, of that Pharaoh, died. And they forgot about. I mean, they're just like us in America. We get short memories. And they forgot about what this guy Joseph had done for the country. And they forgot about the promises that Pharaoh had made. And a new Pharaoh came along and said, those people scare me. There's too many of them. And then the clash began. But I want to pause tonight in the narrative of the life of Joseph. And I want you to think about something. Joseph serves as a very, very clear type of Christ. You remember that scene in the end of, right at the end of Luke? Those two that were walking to Emmaus, and they were really downtrodden and they were really discouraged because they just killed Jesus. We thought he was the one. And remember, they were walking along, and the Bible says that Jesus came along beside them and they didn't know who he was. And he began to ask him some questions. What's the matter with you guys? Why are you so downtrodden? What's going on? Haven't you heard? Don't you know? And the Bible says that he began at Moses and through the prophets and showed them all scriptures concerning himself. Think about that statement for a minute when I'm telling you that Joseph is a type of Christ. He shows us Christ. Moses, when we get to Moses, Lord willing, we'll see Moses as a type of Christ. The first light that God said, let there be light, type of Christ. Adam, the first Adam, Christ, the second and last Adam. There have been many, many pictures that we've been able to see where we see Christ in type, in shadow. Maybe none clearer than Joseph. And I'm wondering if Jesus, when he began to talk to them from Moses, beginning at Moses. That's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the Pentateuch. Beginning at Moses and the prophets, and he revealed himself, he taught of himself through the scriptures. You think he talked to him and he said, you remember Adam? I'm the replacement. It's the last Adam. You remember Joseph? Yeah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Yeah, we remember him. He pictured me. And begin to unfold that to them and have them just... Moses, the great deliverer, me. And he could go through the whole scriptures and say, yeah, remember that? Me. Think about that as we go through. I won't go to all these scriptures. I have them all listed out here. Genesis 37:3. If you're writing and you want to write them down, they'll be there. Lord willing, I wrote the right verse down and it'll be right. Genesis 37:3. The Bible tells us that he was loved of his father in a very special love. Love that was beyond his other children. Jesus was beloved of his father. Jesus was from eternity, ever with the Father, having perfect harmony and fellowship with the Father. And at his baptismal, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Joseph's just a guy. Joseph's just living life, trying to live under incredibly negative circumstances, obviously trying to serve the Lord, obviously trying to put the Lord first, obviously not perfect. But Joseph, in just living his life, could have, I would guess, never seen how that special love that his father had for him, because he was born of Rachel. Dad loved Rachel. How that later we could begin to draw some parallels. He was loved of his father, hated of his brethren. Jesus came into his own received him not. Jesus came into his own kindred and they hated him. Hated him. He told his brothers that they would bow to him. And they said, we'll never bow to you. And they did. Not right then. 22 years later, they bowed. Jesus came and said, I am the King of kings, Lord of lords. I'm the Son of God. And they said, we'll not have this man to reign over us. But one day all will bow. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. Just a matter of when. This life or when we stand before God afterwards. Another parallel that we see in Joseph's life is that he was sent from home to another country for his brethren. He was sent away to another country by God. That's in Genesis 37:13. I should have given you some more verses. Hated of his brothers, Genesis 37:4-5. Rejected at first, Genesis 37:8. Now sent by his father, Genesis 37:13. He said, Joseph, go over there and check upon your brothers. See what's going on over there. They're tending the flocks over there. Go over there and check that out. And the father sent the son over yonder. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Sent him down there to earth. Genesis chapter 37 and verse 18. Now that he's on earth, they're conspiring against him. Remember that scene when Joseph was doing the bidding of his father and he was approaching his brothers, and they saw him. He said, that dreamer's coming, that weirdo with that funny coat. And he's coming. Let's get him. Let's kill him. No, let's get some money out of him and sell him. But they were conspiring against him. Jesus in John 5, he said he was the Son of God. And the Bible says they sought the more to kill him. Because when he said he's the Son of God, that made him equal with God, and they wouldn't have any of that. And so another parallel there, he was conspired against. When Joseph showed up over there with his brethren, one of the first things they did when they were going to throw him in the pit, took his coat off of him, remember? And then they ended up bloodying the coat and taking it back to the father and saying, look, like they didn't know, right? Dad, is this Joseph's coat? Jacob said, yeah, that's Joseph's coat. It's all bloody. My boy's been killed. Well, you remember the narrative of the Lord as he was going through the mock trials, and amongst all the many things that they did to him, one of the things they did to him was strip him. Took his raiment off of him and put upon him different raiment. Can you imagine? I doubt that we can even imagine, even as an individual of relative modesty, to be brutally stripped in a public place. Now, granted, today people run around naked. I mean, I don't understand it. But this is the Son of God, modest in every possible way. And they stripped him and mocked him and ridiculed him. Can you imagine what that would have done? How that would have been received? Well, Joseph was stripped of his coat, Genesis 37:23. Ended up selling him, Genesis 37:28, sold for silver, 20 pieces, I think. Inflation had gone up, they got 30 out of Jesus. 30 pieces of silver. In Genesis chapter 40, verses 13 and 19, we begin to read of a couple of men, the butler and the baker. And interesting, the butler and the baker, they're there with Jesus in prison. Joseph wrongly accused, by the way. Jesus put upon a cross. He had done nothing wrong. Joseph had a couple of fellows he ran into in prison, the butler and the baker, kind of chief characters in this drama that's unfolding. The baker, he dies. The butler, he lives. There are two men beside Jesus, prominent characters in the drama of the life of Christ, one on a cross on one side and one on a cross on the other side. One looks to the Lord and says, remember me. And the Lord says, today you'll be with me in paradise. The other stays in his rebellion. So the one lived, the one died. The parallels just continue to go on. By the way, Genesis chapter 40 and verse 15 is where Joseph says that he's innocent of the charges of why he's there in jail. And in Genesis chapter 41 and verse 39, though he was once imprisoned, he was raised and elevated to a place of authority. subsequent to that imprisonment. And Jesus, though at one point nailed to the cross and gave up his life, and in the grave he went, but he rose 3 days later and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And that's another thing right there, that Joseph, when he was elevated to second in charge of Egypt. Only Pharaoh greater. How does the Bible describe the Godhead? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Always describing Jesus as the second person of the Godhead. Joseph was the second in charge of Egypt. Now, Genesis chapter 42, verses 4 through 7, we talked about this already. He was sent ahead to save his own. Remember, Joseph said to them, I forgive you, basically. Fear not, basically. I realize you didn't put me here. God sent me here so that I could prepare a way for you. We find that in Genesis chapter 42, verses 4 through 7, that I was sent ahead to save you, to save my family. And remember another parallel there, that in chapter 42 and verse 8, when the brethren first met him, they didn't know him. They didn't realize who he was. When Jesus first came onto the scene, they didn't know who he was. Those two that we talked about from Luke 24, walking to Emmaus, Jesus is walking side by side with them. They didn't know him until he revealed himself to them. The woman at the well is talking to him, and she recognizes something's different, and she's thinking, are you a prophet? She's trying to figure it out. And then he reveals himself to her. Joseph's brethren looked right at him, but 22 years had gone by. And to be fair, Joseph had changed his appearance. Well, first of all, from 17 to whatever, 20, 39, I mean, he would have changed. His garb would have changed. But I remember the one scene where he turned from them and he changed his voice and he did things so that they wouldn't recognize him, take no chance of them recognizing him. But they looked right at him and they didn't know who he was until the scene in Genesis 45:4 when he reveals himself and he says, I'm your brother. Hey guys, I'm Joseph. And that's the way the Lord works on us. We don't know who he is. We know something about him maybe, but until he reveals himself to us, we're like the woman at the well. We just know about this guy they say is coming. We don't know who he is. Until he reveals himself to him. Now, there's something I want to show you here. Genesis 45. Genesis chapter 45 in verse 4. And he says, Joseph said unto his brethren, Come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother. Now notice that. He said, come near unto me. How does Jesus draw his people unto himself? John 6, 44, no man can come to the Father, or come unto me, except the Father which sent me draw him. And that drawing process of God, Joseph is a type of Christ in that as well. Interestingly, as we read the narrative of Joseph and his brethren, Joseph told them not to worry and not to fear. Joseph comforted them. Joseph let them know that he wasn't going to retaliate. But he never denied their guilt. He never said, "Oh, you did nothing wrong." He said, "What you meant for evil, God meant for good." He didn't deny their guilt. He simply chose to forgive them of their guilt, of what they had done. Jesus, the fact that he saved me in no way denies my guilt before God. But in him, I am forgiven. He simply chose to pay my sin debt, to take my sin debt for me, and thus forgive me of my guilt. But there's never a denying that I am guilty. Jesus just chose to forgive me and cover that payment for me. Joseph was sent on ahead to save his family. He voluntarily forgave them of the evil that they had done unto him. And then once he had gone through all of the hardships, once he had gone through all of the difficulties, once he had gone through the ups and downs of life, once he had been elevated to second in the whole land of Egypt, he said, "Come on over and be where I am." And what did he tell the apostles as he was leaving in John 14? "I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also." And again, Joseph is a type of Christ. Interestingly, I brought this out earlier, that they're welcome in Egypt as long as Joseph is alive. And we're welcome with the Lord in heaven as long as he's alive. Well, Joseph died. Jesus isn't going to. That's an eternal situation. There's a guy at the nursing home that is completely sold on one thing. He doesn't claim to know much else in the Bible, but he claims to know one thing out of the Bible. Once saved, always saved. And I agree with him. And that's the way it's going to be. I believe that's the way the Bible teaches it. Joseph's family was, they were welcomed guests in Egypt as long as Joseph was alive. He said, "Come on over here." And he brought them to where he was. And Jesus is going to say, "Come on up here. You're welcome guests as long as I'm alive." And guess what? That's forever. And listen, I've just scratched the surface. I've just given you about half of the different ones that I've read from different men that even pull many, many more aspects. And now, can you imagine the Lord walking with those two on that road and starting in Genesis, or the Bible says starting with Moses, and he told him in all the scriptures concerning himself. Can you imagine as he unfolded these stories and opened their eyes, how vividly they would have seen Christ on every page of your Bible? And that's what we're trying to do in this Bible survey. Back up and get a bigger picture, a broader scope of our Bibles, and see how it all connects together and unfold this drama of redemption. And the Bible uses so many times human illustrations and pictures to show heavenly meanings and teachings. And we understand the story of Joseph. I mean, we don't like what his brothers did to him. And there's some things about it that you get your dander up when you think about Potiphar's wife and him being thrown in prison and the baker forgetting about, the butler forgetting about him for a couple of years. And we understand some of these things. But then when we begin to see, but he is a type of Christ. And then we say, wow. I see more vividly now what Christ did as I began to see it in the life of Joseph. I talked about it back when we were there, just thought of Isaac. Remember how we looked at Isaac as a type of Christ. God will provide himself a lamb at that scene there with Isaac. And so many things that we can uncover. And I realize that a Bible survey, we're just kind of scratching the surface. We're not getting every little detail. But trying to get that big picture that'll whet your appetite. And so we continue to look at Hebrew history. And before long, we'll see him over there in Egypt. We'll see him flourishing and then becoming a thorn in their flesh and the people from Egypt wanting them out. So that's our Bible survey lesson for tonight. Let's break up into our prayer groups. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Brother Elmer, you lead us.